Matthew chapter 9. The message today is a lesson long in learning. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 12. But when he heard it, he said, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." Verse 13. "But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Notice again. "Go ye and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Now, chapter 12. Verse 7. "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And look in chapter 6, just briefly. Verse 2. "When therefore thou doest alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men." Verse 5. "And when ye pray, ye shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." And verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast." And one other scripture in Zechariah, chapter 7. Zechariah 7. A delegation has been sent from Bethel. We have Sharezer, Regemmelech, and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord. Verse 3, "And to speak unto the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned, in the fifth and in the seventh month, even these 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye eat and when ye drink, do not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, and the south and the lowland were inhabited?" Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the light of the Word of God. All men are aware that the sun that shines from heaven gives light to the earth. We are thankful that we have known that the Word of God giveth light to the soul. So, our Father, we pray that thou shalt illumine us. If there are those who know not Christ as Savior, let them see thy Son. And for us, our Father, in thy light, let us see light. We confess our sins, and thou hast promised that if we do this, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. And, Father, being clean, we would beseech that the hearts of all who listen are prepared, and the lips of him who speaks are empowered. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. what do I mean by a lesson long in learning? Think of what the Lord Jesus did in Matthew chapter 9, telling these learned Jews, go learn what this meaneth. They had read it, they had known it their whole life long, and the Savior said to them, go learn what it means. So to be familiar with what the Word of God says, but to know what it means, are two different things. He gave them an assignment. From chapter 12, we discover that they had not completed that assignment. He said in chapter 9, go learn what this means. And in chapter 12, he said, if you had known what this meaneth, you would not have acted the way that you did. He gave them an assignment, and they did not carry it out. Therefore, they were still in ignorance, and they behaved in a way that was disgraceful for one bearing the name of the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And so for this reason, when I speak to those that are many years older than I am, without embarrassment, I say, learn what I'm going to tell you. And you might say, well, tell me something I do not know. Why, do you know what the meaning of the scripture is? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Do you know how to pray? Here are the disciples who had been praying their whole life long, and yet they saw the Lord Jesus praying, and when he finished, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Praying their whole life long, and they realized that they did not know how to pray. Familiar their whole life long with the scriptures, but they did not know what they meant. And this is true concerning the people of God from ancient times. That's why I read you in Zechariah chapter 7. We have these men from Bethel coming with their retinue, and they come to entreat the favor of the Lord, and they want to ask the priests and the prophets certain questions as to their behavior. And in like manner, from the way the Lord Jesus treats those men in the New Testament, we understand that they should have asked questions, but they were too proud to ask those questions, and for that reason the Lord Jesus had to expose them. Let me tell you why. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. And he continued to talk with him. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And the Lord Jesus said, are you the teacher in Israel and knowest not these things? The teacher in Israel, ignorant that you must be born again. In chapter 9, the Lord Jesus is talking with his opponents, and they come to him and say, are we also blind? The Lord Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Your sin remaineth. And in Revelation chapter 3, this is what the church at Laodicea says of itself. We are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord Jesus says from heaven, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and naked and blind. And yet they are saying one thing about themselves. And so when I come to people that are older than I make no apology in telling you the simplest things, because you may not know them. And at the same time, the things upon which you pride yourself, it may be the things for which the Lord Jesus would rebuke you. We are rich and increased in goods. He said, no, you are wretched and naked and miserable and blind. He said, I exhort you to buy of me gold refined by the fire. Get some eye salve and put it on that you may see. And so for this reason, you come reverently and tell those that perhaps there are things that are in the Word of God that you have not known. Now, first of all, let me tell you something that is quite amusing. And that is this portion from Zechariah chapter 7, when this assemblage from Bethel come to Jerusalem to ask Haggai and Zechariah and the priests that were there some answers to problems that had been troubling them. And what they wanted to know was this. They said, now, the fast of the fifth month and the seventh month that we've been keeping for so long a time, should we continue to keep that fast? We want to know that. Why? Because these fasts were instituted because of just the opposite of what was going on now. Finally, in 520 BC, the temple again had begun to be built, and yet these fasts that they had been keeping were because of the fire that destroyed the temple and because of the death of Gedaliah, and they had instituted fasts because of these two events. And now they come and they say, we want to know if we should continue to do this. We've done it so long a time. And the Lord tells them how long they had been observing these fasts. He said, 70 years. Is that persistence? They had been observing these fasts 70 years. And the Lord Jesus said, as the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, so God, through Zechariah the prophet, says to them, in all these 70 years, did you ever fast unto me, even me? Think, how long have you been remembering the Lord? You say, why, 70 years? Then the question comes as this. Have you been remembering the Lord unto him? You say, why else would I remember the Lord? Understand that the Lord asked the question concerning those that had been faithfully fasting for 70 years. And he said, I've been watching you. He said, but when you kept the fast, did you fast unto me, even me? And the answer was no. And so you can be going through the motions your whole life long and never have done it unto him, even unto him. That's why I read you those portions in Matthew chapter 6. Here are Israelites that are fulfilling the obligations of God, and they are giving unto God. And the Lord Jesus looks at them. He says, you're giving, but you're giving in the wrong way. You're blowing a trumpet that you may have the glory of man. That's not why you should give, but they were giving. And so the Lord Jesus would say, when you give, did you give unto me, even unto me? And the answer was no, but they were giving. But when they blew the trumpet, they were not giving unto him, even unto him. And they were praying. And the Lord Jesus always observed what was going on. He observed that widow that cast in her two mites. He saw what was going on. He saw when they gave and how they gave. And he saw when they prayed. And he observed what was wrong in their prayer. Let me get in this prominent position. Now, does everyone have a good view of my profile? Are they aware of the way that my eyes are lifted toward heaven? And when everyone was looking, then they would pour out this prayer. And later on he tells us it was a prayer of repetitions. And the Lord Jesus said, that's not the way to pray. He said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. He said, you give for the glory of men, and you pray to be seen of men. Instead of giving for the glory of men, give for the relief of the poverty stricken. When you pray, pray not to be seen of men, but to be heard of God. And when you fast, fast not to be seen of men, but to lay hold on God and to receive from Him that for which you are fasting. And so that's why I say to people like you who would tell me, I have been remembering the Lord 70 years. I have been praying. I have been giving. And the Lord Jesus said, I know. And that's what I'm telling you, that you have been doing it without understanding. He said, go learn what this scripture meaneth. They could quote it, but he said, you do not know what it means. Go learn what it means. Now, if you have committed to memory a portion of God's word and can conceivably give the right explanation, you do not know that scripture until it is carried out in your life. The Lord Jesus said this, if you had known what the scripture meaneth, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Do you understand? If you know something, it will control your behavior. To be able to give a correct answer is not knowing the scripture. It is something that you have comprehended and has become a part of you. And when it becomes a part of you, then the Lord Jesus says, now you know the scripture. The lawyer that heard the Savior answering the questions that were put to him to embarrass him, he knew that the Lord Jesus had answered wisely. And he said, what is the first and great commandment? And the Lord Jesus, without a moment's hesitation, said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the lawyer said, Master, thou hast well said that he is one. And he spoke the words of Christ in a little different order. And when Christ saw that he had answered discreetly, he said, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven. But if I knew and I could answer, the Savior said, you're not inside, but you're getting close. You're not far from the kingdom of heaven. And so you say, I can tell you how to be saved. I remember years ago when I was in Canada being approached by a drunkard on the street that wanted money from me. And I was trying to witness to him. And he said something like this, you don't have to witness to me. I know how to be saved. It's the blood of Christ. That is what saves. And so he said, now, will you give me some money? And so tell me, did the knowledge of salvation, was it real in that man because he knew how to be saved? You say, no. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor drunkards. And so all of those who say, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous, and so there may be those that are like the five foolish virgins, may be like that man that was in the marriage supper without the garment, and like that drunkard that was able to tell me the way of salvation. He didn't want to hear it anymore. He said, not that I know it, just give me some money. And so the Lord Jesus said, go learn what this meaneth. And so the disciples, in heart, eventually learned that they had been praying, but they did not know how to pray. And that the Pharisees and the scribes had committed to memory the word of God, but they did not know what it meant. And we who gather to the name of the Lord can boast that for 70 years we have gathered to His name and have not forsaken the Lord's table. And the Lord says, well, when you did that, did you do it unto me, even unto me? Understand this, that for, I suppose, over 40 years, I have never failed to remember the Lord on the first day of each week. When I was invited to speak in Canada, in England, the first thing that I inquired about was, will I be allowed to sit at the Lord's table? Because the meeting that invited me was one of a more conservative nature, and I wanted to know if they would receive me. When I understood that they would, and I could remember the Lord, I said, then I will go to England. In Canada, when I was visiting relatives, I said, is there an assembly where on Lord's Day I can go to remember the Lord? Yes. And so I said, I will go to Canada. Well, that doesn't mean that I'm right, because once you get there, it says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But at least I can say, for 40 years I've never failed to remember the Lord. And these Jews could say, for 70 years we have never failed to keep these fasts. And the Lord says, well, that's good. That's good. He said, but when you kept them, for whom did you keep the fast? For me or for yourselves? Tell me. When the man is giving money in Matthew chapter 6, is it for God? You say, the Savior said he did it for his own glory. Then it wasn't unto the Lord. He gave, but it wasn't unto the Lord. He put it in the proper place at the temple, but it wasn't unto the Lord. And the Savior exposed that. And this man who is praying, if there were an ulterior motive, he wasn't praying unto the Lord, even unto the Lord. It was a different motive. And when he fasted, when he denied himself, he was doing it, he thought, unto the Lord, but it wasn't unto the Lord. Like the man that was a publican who went into the temple, and he prayed thus with himself. He was in the right place praying, but the Lord Jesus said he went home the same way he came into the temple. And in like manner, if you go away and tell others the things that I have told you, but your life is not conformed to the truth of the word of God, the Lord Jesus would say, go learn what this meaneth. And if you have not, he would say, if you knew, you would behave in a different way. Now, is that not sad? That we can go on for 70 years and be oblivious that we are not pleasing the Lord. Why, that man in the temple, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. And when he went home, he would say, God was so delighted. I was in the temple praying to him. God was thrilled today. And the Lord Jesus said it was repugnant to God. Do you realize that in the book of Amos, God says this? He said, I hate, I despise your feasts and your solemn assemblies. And they're the ones that God instituted. He said, I hate them, I despise them. And he said, when you bring all these offerings, he said, I'm not going to accept them. And he said, what singing you do is noise, and I will not accept the melody of your vials. And so however sweetly we play an instrument, how much we sing to God, God says, it's noise. You say, well, this is so depressing. The consolation is this, that at least after 70 years, they had been sustained of God to be alive, and now they knew what God thought of what they were doing for him, and they had a chance to change. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And so if you've been going on this way for 70 years, you do not have to continue. It is shattering to learn this truth. But then for God to tell you and not have cut you off in your hypocrisy, in your ignorance, that is the consolation, because you can change. As the man who said, who is my neighbor? And then the Lord Jesus told him. And then he said, now you go and do something about it. So it may be that you have not known until now, but now you know and you can change. A man whom you know who is taught here was talking to me some weeks back, and concerning a portion of scripture he asked me, and I gave him the explanation. And this man, and I thank God for his humility, he said, this is the first time in 74 years I've known the answer to that question, the meaning of that scripture. 74 years, do you understand? So here is one that for over 70 years had been reading, but he said, when I told people about it, I didn't know what to tell them. He said, the answer is obvious. So what we have to do is this. If we think we know anything, we know not yet as we ought to know. But if God teaches us then indeed we are taught. The convictions we had, what is the source of these convictions? In Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, this conviction cometh not of God. But in Romans 14, this is what Paul says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ. So all the convictions and persuasions that you have, are they in the Lord Jesus Christ? All the giving, all the praying, all the fasting, all of your religious activities, what motivates them? And if it is not doing it unto the glory of God Himself, for no fleshly ulterior motive, then God says, you haven't been doing it unto me. And most evangelicals are oblivious to this. I realize that whatever gift God may have given, if you exercise that gift, this is what Paul says, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, then I am sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do you understand? Gifted of God. He said, but if I do not speak motivated by love, God says, what I hear is like the noise of your songs. The melody of your vials I rejected. And so in like manner, speaking. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2. It said, some people are preaching Christ of strife and of contention. But they're preaching Christ. But it's of strife and of contention. But it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But they're preaching. And in Matthew 6, they're giving, and they're praying, and they're fasting. But the Lord Jesus says, it is all wrong. But if that is so, then when I pray, I must understand that it is to God and for the purpose of being heard. And when I give, it is for the relief of the destitute and for the glory of God and not myself. And if I learn those lessons, then I will give in a different manner and I will pray in a different manner. And any self-denial like unto fasting that I do, it will be in a different manner, and that will please the Lord. Now, a little explanation about the scripture that Christ says, go learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. What would you think of a man who brought the prescribed sacrifice precisely as set forth in the book of Leviticus and gave it to the priest and carried out the ritual to perfection? God said, I do not want that at all. Tell me, do you like Psalm 51? It's the penitential psalm of David, one of the most magnificent psalms in the Bible. God says, I wish it wasn't there. Why? These sacrifices that you're offering, I wish you wouldn't offer them. Why? Because if I have sinned and offered a sacrifice, I'm obeying God, but I'm obeying God to make atonement for the sin I've committed. If I had not sinned, there would be no offering of a sacrifice on the altar. Do you understand? That's when God wants a barren altar. He doesn't want the fat of a sin offering on the altar. Why? Because if it's there, you've sinned. What God would prefer is a Joseph who fled from Potiphar's wife rather than a David who committed adultery with another man's wife and would offer these sacrifices. Do you understand? And this is what the Savior is trying to get us to comprehend. I do not want the sacrifices. Why? Because I'd rather have you without the sacrifice, apart from sin. This. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. That's what God wants. But the alternative, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And what God would delight is that the Lord Jesus not have to do so much advocating, but we as his little children sin not. Go learn what this meaneth. By God's grace, may we learn it soon. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the things that your word and your spirit and your son, teach us. Forgive us, having been illumined at the first. Yes, we know Christ. Forgive us, Father, for so long not having learned these lessons. We remember Christ's words, "Have I been so long time with thee, and hast thou not known me, Philip?" So, Father, let us, having been with him so long a time, know him, and then pray that prayer, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. Let us be enlightened, the men and women of God that thou wouldst have us to be. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.